from 25th named Jamaica coming through like I do, you know, getting my bark on. Knew she was a thug cause when I met her she had a scarf on. 5411 size 7 and girls, baby face would look like she was 11 with curves. Girlfriend, what? Remember me from way back? I'm the same cat with the wave cap that my TNT used to be. Still here, so it's all good. Oh, you know my name, Rich and them doing their thing on 35th Dan. It's a small hood and it's all wood, so let me get that number. I get up,
alright,
hit you on the track later on, see what's up. Talking to shorty made me wanna do something nice. What? Looking at that made me wanna do something tonight. What? And I know right when I see right, shorty looking like she tight, she bite. Let her give a green light.
What day my angel being played? How's it going down? It's all till it's gone that I got to know now.
Shorty, like what you need, what you want. Want for nothing, cause I got you, but you front. I see you with your baby father, but it don't matter. Since you gave me the that ass getting fatter. Let that play daddy, make moves with me. I done kept it more than real, boo. Can't lose with me.
True.
Dirty smacked you, cause you said my name when y'all was. Ran up on this cat, he thought was me and started flexing. You know, I ain't even with that. So he gon' have to get that dress on TV. Tried to creep me, why? Leave that. Sleepy, run a strength for you, that's your kid's daddy. I ain't gonna send him on his way, put him up in that big caddy. But let him know, never mind, yo, I need you to go. Take this up to 150, see Joe, get that. Come back with that, and we can split that, sit back. Get that,
what type of games are being played, how's it doing down? It's on till it's gone, then I got to know now.
She choose, gets to do.
Right.
Respect is not expected, but it's given cause it's real. Being neglected's a norm, expected, you deal.
Yeah.
Lie, cheat, and steal for me. Put something in it, make it, you spell for me. You still with me, cause we get down like what? Told you from the dog, it ain't all about a nut. You gon' be fed, trying to be there, we gon' see that. Hit me with the question, boo, that answer gon' be yeah.
Right.
See there, something can go wrong, it does. Loved it, let it go, when it came back, that's how strong it was. But she belonged to cuss, couldn't belong to me. Taking 2 kids by this, it was wrong for me. But we gon' always be best of friends. Bad love, boo, to the end.
What time is it being played? How's it going down? It's on till it's gone, then I got to know, man. Cause you with me, you are. Cause I'm trying to get me up. Cause honey's wanna get me to. That's a game to being played. How's it going down? It's on till it's gone, then I got to know, man.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's March 2nd, the first Thursday of the month. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Aaron, here on 101.9 CITR. We're broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish and Musqueam territory. If you'd like to call into the studio today, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. If you've been with us before, you know that on my show, I like to talk a little bit about some politics. I like to talk about some pop culture, things that are going on in the world today. We like to listen to some good music. What you were just listening to was, it's a love song by DMX. So I don't know if you really picked that up, but you know, DMX as a character, you know, you might know him from the Rough Riders, the Party Up anthem, but you know, he's a real sensitive guy. If you've ever listened to us, so I was just really recently going back through DMX catalog and listening to some CDs listening to some CDs and Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, and what you realize is that DMX is a real sensitive guy. And we were talking about, I was talking about this with a friend, just with the idea that we have a character like DMX. We have somebody, DMX exists. Like, that's crazy. If you know a little bit about the story of DMX, if you don't know anything, you should look it up. Or you should just read his Wikipedia page. You can find lots of information about interesting people on Wikipedia about the early life, but you like maybe before the fame and maybe post fame, because I'm not sure about here in Vancouver and on the West Coast in general, but on the East Coast where I'm from, DMX was a huge deal. But what you're listening to is How's It Going Down by DMX. I really have a jam-packed show today. There's always a lot that goes on during the week. You know, we do the show once a week, starting at 7 a.m. And it's been a really crazy week. I've really been trying to get to this interview that I did with Priest when they were here in Vancouver for their nationwide tour. North American tour. Talking about their music, talking about their influences. So whether that be pop culture, or whether that be the realities of what's going on now, or just what's going on in their lives. And I thought it was a really good interview, so I'm going to try to get to that at the end, but there's just so much going on. Not just in the world, but even in Vancouver. So for the next hour, that's what we'll be going through. And I like to go through the forecast for the week and the weekend. This weekend, unlike last weekend was sunny and cold, this weekend is rainy and cold. It's going to rain today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Let me look at the 10-day so I can prepare you. Rain. All the way until Saturday, March 11th. So be prepared to have a soggy next 10 days. You know, I like to have some interesting guests lined up for you. Sometimes I just have pre-recorded interviews. Sometimes we have interviews live here in the studio. You know, it's really cool to just really get some really smart people and people you haven't heard from before. And sometimes I just have my friends in here, but today it's pretty lonely. It's pretty dark. I am really appreciating how I'm really appreciating the sun. You know, I'm really appreciating how the weather is starting to change again and starting to be not so dark in the morning and and light past 4:30 in the afternoon. So we're just going to jump right into it. I like to start off with some news that's going on in Vancouver, but this is happened and some funny news because we get into some heavier stuff a little later. This is from Vancouver, and I think it's pretty funny. The Vancouver-based, I don't know if you know about Hootsuite, but Hootsuite is a Vancouver-based tech company. It's pretty much a social media management marketing company. And last week, a reporter wrote a piece pretty much on Hootsuite and how he believes that it's overvalued in a it's overvalued as a unicorn. It's really not as great as investors think it is. I think it got $1 billion valuation. And so the reporter, Garrett Divinick, he responded to a tweet from the CEO. The CEO basically said, salacious headline. However, Hootsuite is definitely worth north of $1 billion today. Apparently, your story was filed prior to our comment and was pretty much a little upset about the valuation and with some of the things that the reporter is saying. I guess they had a previous conversation. And Garrett responded say he reached out and he didn't hear anything. And then Ryan Holmes, the CEO of Hootsuite, sent him, said try him at 1-800-328-3425. Now, don't go type that into your phones, because what that is 1-800-EAT-A-DICK. And I think it's pretty funny that a CEO of a $1 billion company would say that to a reporter. And it really speaks to the real startup lifestyle, you know, the lifestyle that people are looking for in those startups. Like, I guess for me, because I'm looking for employment, I don't really like those type of situations. I worked for a startup last summer, and my experience was that, you know, sometimes I really like a formal human resources department, you know, or a CEO that is really conscious of the types of things that he says, because like a startup environment can be a little different. Like, you hear other people talk about offices that are different, particularly like athletes. You know, they have a different way that they deal with certain behavior. You know, it's just a different type of workplace than your normal 9-to-5 or wherever you're getting up and getting ready to go to today. You know, it's just a little bit different. And startups, as they resemble more traditional businesses, I feel that they have a little more undefined structure, like a locker room, which I don't think that is always good, because like, you get the CEO for Hootsuite who has said something funny and like, I mean, entertainment worthy on you know to this reporter. But if you can imagine you know, that being taken out into, you know, into the larger work environment where that type of language wouldn't be okay. That might not be the type of language that you want in your workplace. And so I'm always conflicted on whether when you work at a startup, whether you should expect the same type of, work behavior from a startup as you do as from an established, you know, a traditional Fortune 100, Fortune 500 company, you know, where they have formal HR, and it's not a more conducive environment for creativity, but it's more it's more proper in the sense that people aren't going to tell you to eat a dick at work. Looking to, you know, here we'd like to talk a lot about housing here in Vancouver and a lot about the pipeline, because like when it comes to here in Vancouver news, it doesn't really get that exciting. There are lots of things going on, but I feel for the most part these are the stories that continue to pull the news cycle here in Vancouver, housing and the pipeline. So I thought it was interesting that Scotiabank issued a statement. The CEO, Brian Porter, issued a statement just about how he thinks that we're going to need some type of market correction here in Vancouver and in Toronto, but specifically in Vancouver. And so with the new policies that the government has implemented, I think the empty home tax and some other programs, that what we're going to see is housing prices drop, which would be great news for most people, because even if housing prices drop like 10%, you still won't be able to afford a house. So, you know, how much difference does it make? It should make a bit of a difference. And, you know, as someone who wants to stay in Vancouver long term, as someone who thinks about those types of things, I guess it's nice to know that the institutions, banking institutions, also feel that it is necessary, and we're going to see some type of correction. But don't be expecting, you know, a correction to the magnitude that would allow you to purchase a house, particularly if you're listening to community radio in the morning. I don't know what that says about me, because I'm on community radio, so I would I hope my listeners can afford a house eventually, but to the three people who do listen, I'm not so sure. When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit about how this might have been one of my favorite Black History Months ever. Stay with us. Hold on.
Side, watch you play, waiting for you to cross the line and realize that I'm the one for you. It's pretty obvious. I made my moves, you know I see you watching too. You got your walls up, 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 up. I won't turn down, just take your time and let me know when you're down, down, down. I know you got a lot of shit that's going on, so I'ma make it simple and be upfront with you. Know you want me to make a run for you, cause I want you. Let you know what's up. We got different paths, but we complement each other. We're bound to last. You got goals, I got mine. Push each other into line. I give you my time, show you my ways. Listen to what you gotta say. I give you your space, be real with you. Give us a chance, open your eyes. See that I'm the one for you. I listen, I push you. I got you, I care, but you won't see. So try and so blinded, giving you what I got. Oh, all to you, all to you. It's gotta be enough, be enough for you. Cause I want you. Everything you want within your reach. Take a leap, leap of faith. Believe in me, believe in me. Believe in me.
This is one hell of a ride, and I don't know if I make it through it. Put in my pride aside, you know I'm by your side, there's nothing to it. But I feel like I'm losing, I don't wanna be choosing. There is no conclusion, it's rather confusing. All of the games you playing, I'm saying that we could be blooming like flowers in June, a beautiful view.
on a late afternoon. I'm hoping it's soon. I don't know what we're doing, but I'd rather know than to be assuming. These feelings in my chest are real. I really need to know the deal. Cause when I'm too close, you push me away. I can't understand how you feel. Now you tell me that my love it heals, releasing you from all your fears. But that's still the fact that something keeps holding you back. Why? I am slowly
thanks for tuning in. You're back with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian, here on 101.9 CITR. If you'd like to call in, the number 604-822-2487, 604-822-CITR. Now, I know that, you know, last week we had some callers who called in right as I was closing the show. So I want to get that off ahead. And if you'd like to call in and argue with me about anything that I said last week or anything that I say today that you might not think is right, you're welcome to do so. You know, the number is 604-822-2487. I'd like to talk to somebody. If you want to tell me why this Jeff Sessions thing isn't a big deal, I don't know if you know Jeff Sessions. He's the newly appointed Attorney General of the United States of America. And in his confirmation hearing, basically, if you haven't heard, it's a pretty big deal. At this point, I'm not even really sure why it's a big deal, but I mean, I guess that potentially Russians may have hacked. I don't even know what that means. I feel like we use that word all the time, and I'm not even sure what a hacker does besides swordfish. That's like my most realistic expectations what hackers do. But anyways, that Russians have hacked the United States election and rigged it in this way that helped Donald Trump win. So in the confirmation hearing of all Donald Trump's people, all of his homies, what has really gone down is that everyone's basically been asked and probed about their ties to Russia and what types of things that they, you know, what types of relationships that they have. And so Jeff Sessions was like, you know, I don't have any relationships. I've been called the surrogate of the Trump campaign, and I don't really know what you're talking about. But it was actually found out that Sessions has had contact with some top Russian officials. By Russian officials, it means the ambassador to the United States. And the one problem about this particular ambassador to the United States is that he, according to Politico, he has been considered by U.S. intelligence agencies as one of Russia's top spies and spy recruiters. So that is pretty problematic. I feel that, I mean, it's been a little over a month that we've had Donald Trump be president, and we have so much going on. I mean, he provides so much content for every single person who wants to talk about U.S.-based politics. How can you even get to the local stuff when Donald Trump is here, you know, doing 360 windmills into the trash can, because that's what it's basically. It's, you know, it's trash, but it's exciting. It's exciting to watch. It's just, you know, like how much attention can we pay to it? But then can we afford to not pay attention to it? Like, that's where I'm caught. It's like, all right. We don't want to keep watching this. We don't want to keep watching bum fights. You know, that's terrible. It's terrible to watch people fight like that. But man, it's entertaining. And being here in Vancouver, like, although I'm American and I'm from DC, and I feel like in Vancouver I'm in a little bubble. And here, you know, we get to do things like protest Donald Trump's kids at the Trump Tower. You know, I saw a lot of people on my Facebook feed and on my Instagram. I didn't really go down to protest the Trump Tower because I don't want them to put me on a list, like maybe some type of facial recognition, and I'm trying to get into that pool bar later, probably come June. So if they comp tickets, just know that, like, yeah, like, I've talked bad about Donald Trump, but I know that the Trump Tower isn't Trump-owned, you know, and I understand everybody's got to make a little bit of money. And if you got some free tickets to the pool bar, or I can skip the line, somebody's listening, you know, let me know. Because, I mean, the building's there. It's not going anywhere. They're not going to change the name. It'll be the Trump Tower. Even if they change the name, Trump have already got paid. And I'm sure, I think Dre's is going to be a lot of fun. And the pool swimmer bar in Vancouver is something that Vancouver needs. Get back into the more serious things. So, like, Jeff Sessions, like, that is a problem. And he's problematic because he's leading a investigation to see whether Trump campaign had issues with, I mean, had relationship with Russia prior to the election. So people are calling for Sessions to, you know, basically be reprimanded or taken off the campaign at the least, you know, and at the least, Jeff Sessions, I mean, while he didn't lie and say that he was talking on behalf of the campaign because he was a U.S. senator and on the and he was on the Armed Services Committee in 2016. So technically he wasn't on Donald Trump's campaign. But I don't want my attorney general really misleading me. I feel like that guy should be a little honest. You know, he should be a beacon of honesty and transparency, and I don't think that's what we have. If you also haven't heard, I'm going to play a little clip. This is from, hold on a second. This is from, oh, holy smokes. Sometimes I have some difficulties in here because I'm doing this all myself. So this is from Senator Claire Maskell on the last day of Black History Month and on the let's just get into the clip.
Betsy DeVos has been given one of the most important positions in education in this country. And call me old-fashioned, but I think it's pretty important that the Secretary of Education have a basic working knowledge of history. It is one thing to appear at a hearing for your confirmation and have no idea what the Individual Disabilities Education Act is, or not have a working understanding of the federal laws as it relates to education in this country, but it takes it to a whole new level that someone who is Secretary of Education would make the kind of statement that Secretary DeVos made.
Now, if you don't know the statement that Secretary DeVos, Betsy DeVos, now, if you don't know about who Betsy DeVos is, she's the appointee for basically Director of Education in the United States. And at her confirmation here, her phrase of her confirmation here went split, and the tiebreaker was broken by Mike Pence, who's the vice president. She is extremely unqualified for her job, and people are highly upset about her. And then, because she continues to not only know basically the basic policies and questions about academia and education right now, but she makes statements like how she said HBCUs, which is a historically Black college and university, are real pioneers when it comes to school choice. They are living proof that when more options are provided to students, they are afforded greater access and greater quality. Their success has shown that more options help students flourish. So that's the story. That's the statement that Senator Claire McCaskill was talking about. And so if you don't know about historically black colleges and universities, their presidents actually came into the Trump office to talk a little bit about some of the issues that they're having and some of the assistance that they need from the federal government on the 28th of February. But DeVos's statement of school choice and how HBCUs are a real pioneer when it comes to that, as if black people created colleges because they wanted more choices. No, it's because they wanted a choice at all. Like, black people didn't have choices. I think, like, my friend Tara from university, she was the first woman graduate from a dental program in the University of Maryland. And you like to think Maryland, oh man, that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty liberal, it's a pretty left-leaning state, pretty inclusive. You'd think that in 2017, black people are still having firsts, and that's crazy. Like, it's crazy to think about. And so what this statement speaks of from DeVos is that she has no idea about anything when it comes to education. And yeah, she corrected her statement in the idea that how HBCUs were born out of necessity. And she had an interesting way to say it. She says they were born out of necessity in your history, you know, in your history, as if it's not American history, which is one thing that really bothers me when it comes to Black History Month and Black history in general. It's like, this isn't just Black history. This is American history. Like, if, like, it should be, we should be, have a collective shame about ourselves that we are still having first in 2017. And I just never feel that people in this, you know, in the States may be reflexive. I don't know about the feelings in Canada, you know, when it comes to designated history months. Maybe I think if somebody would like to call in and tell me if Canada has a Aboriginal History Month, I'm going to look it up. So, but it's not like if I'm looking up it right now, Aboriginal History Month, First Nations. No, there's no, History Month, which I guess is good, because it's Canadian history. Like, American history Black history is encompassed in American history, but we like to separate it. And almost as if these HBCUs were born out of, like, somebody else is doing. I was like, oh, America, you know, that was not America's fault. That it's not America's fault or anything that America did that caused black people to need to create their own institutions and own universities to go to be accepted in higher education. Like, this is a collective issue. So when we think about education and we think about education going forward, as they wanted to basically eliminate public schools and turn them into vouchers and charter schools where parents pick between schools that they can go to. And I mean, we know how that would probably turn out, that the schools that are in areas, I mean, we see massive school closings, tens of schools. I think in Philadelphia, they've closed like 40 schools in the city from K through 12, kindergarten through grade 12. And we know where they're cutting the schools, and we know where they're eliminating the schools, and you know, where they're extending trips. She wants to eliminate free lunch. Teachers right now already supply snacks and lunches for kids who don't have lunches, because when you're hungry, you can't learn. I mean, I think it's a fact. Like, we seem to ignore all these scientific facts about education. And we have a secretary who basically embodies that same lack of care and foresight. So, you know, I mean, how much of this, like, as much jokes as we can get off about, you know, I don't know if you've seen that picture of Kellyanne Conway in the Oval Office with the presidents of the HBCUs. You know, we can talk the jokes about, we can joke about it all day. We can joke about how Betsy DeVos doesn't know anything. But when the real concerns of the HBCU presidents come up, and like the president of Dillard, Walter Kimbrough, he said he's basically still processing about the experience he had. And when they thought they would get about 10 minutes each to speak, this last minute Donald Trump photo op was introduced, and it really only gave half of the presidents who were invited to the White House about 2 minutes each to speak. So, yeah, it's cool that HBCUs were recognized even in this horrible way, and that, you know, Donald Trump wanted to meet with the presidents. But when it came to the actual listening and to some of the grievances that they've had, you know, people feel largely ignored, and that can't continue to happen. So when we come back, we'll be talking a little bit about the tech industry. Snapchat is going to IPO today, or it already IPO'd today, and I'm going to tell you why I think that that's crazy. Hold on.
That ship out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway.
Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
CITR and BC Black History Awareness present Black History Month. We're featuring stories about extraordinary Black Canadians. One such individual is John Craven Jones, the first teacher on Salt Spring Island. There was no school on Salt Spring Island, so Mr. Jones taught the children wherever there was space, in sheds or in family homes. He traveled back and forth between the schools on the island because it was too dangerous for the children to travel alone with cougars on the island. Jones was one of only 16 public school teachers in the entire province. Most surprisingly, he taught without being paid. The families were happy and eager to ensure he had whatever he needed so that he would stay, providing him with clothing, produce from the gardens, eggs, meat, and poultry. John Craven Jones continued teaching on Salt Spring Island until 1875, when he moved back to Ohio. He taught for another 20 years and then retired as a farmer. This has been a Black History Month PSA from CITR 101.9 FM and BC Black History Awareness. Are you here because of me?
You don't rock with me, I could tell. You want me to fail. I open up checks in the mail.
Got my bank account on flex.
Bit my bank account on bicep emoji. Yeah, you pray we don't sell. You pray that the boat don't sell. Still drinking out the holy grail.
Yeah.
Boy, you better keep your eye on the trophy.
Out of shape, nigga, in the two-door tuna can. Rub my hands together like I'm baby with the bands. Catch me in the Owens, I don't wear the Timberland. Diamond chain, white and red, look like vodka cran, yeah. I got a nerve, boy, they question who cutting up my checks. Don't like how I'm stunting on my ex. Ain't here for the talking on my flex. Call up my guy, yeah. Call up my guy for the funeral. Came with the Uzi, don't lose control. I'm pouring the lean, so we moving slow, yeah.
I drop a phone, my NyQuil, so on sick days, I'm alright still. The hype still has yet to hit me, but I know the perks from tonight will. More times I don't boast up, I just keep quiet like the phone's bug. My bad team say I'm so smug, and I'm different now that I glowed up. Niggas that I don't recognize wanna post up. Bear man's tryna show love when we crossroads like bone thugs. Niggas see me and get starstruck, man, I can't even go to Starbucks. Most of these men pass the bar exam, man, all I do is get my bars up.
Welcome back to Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian. 101.9 CITR here in UBC's campus. From the studio, if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about Snapchat and their IPO today. I think that it is going for about $17 a share, which is a trade a little bit over Twitter right now. And so I don't know if listeners, I don't know if you know what Snapchat is, but I'm sure your kids do. And if you don't have any kids, then you probably know what Snapchat is. It's a place where you can take really, really cool pictures of your cat that last for like 24 hours. And I think that I first heard about Snapchat in 2011, and I was like, man, this is great. Because, I mean, I feel like everybody, you know, originally used Snapchat for the first reason. Because, like, you were like, man, this is a real real safe place to send pictures and receive them, you know, because people felt comfortable because you're like, oh, you can't save it. You can't screenshot it. It's not, you know, it's going away. Because when Snapchat first came out, it wouldn't even let you screenshot. Like now it tells you that you can screenshot. But see, I feel like a Snapchat like original where you couldn't even screenshot it. Like it wouldn't let you. The phone would turn off. And I would say like that was like 2010, 2011, and then I feel like Snapchat went away for a little bit because it just got a little old, it got a little boring, and then in 2000, it came back in a rush. It came back in a rush. Like, and so in 2013, I remember being at work and talking to one of my coworkers about how they had just turned down a $3 million buyout from Facebook, and you know, me and my coworker, we were just flabbergasted. Yeah, right before I said that, I wasn't sure whether that was going to come out of my mouth. But sometimes these words, they come to my mouth before they actually hit my brain. So that's how you got that. Now, is flabbergasted, is that a cool word? Nah, I don't think so. Anyways, we were just like, man, damn, I can't believe Snapchat turned down $3 billion. This company doesn't even have a revenue stream. They don't even know how they're going to make money. They just have it, right? Turn down $3 billion and you don't have anything. What you have is like a very simple app. Like, I don't make apps. I don't know how to make an app, so I'm not a computer programmer. However, I feel like I can understand like the underlying complexities of some apps, and Snapchat seems like the most simple one. But anyways, they turned down $3 billion, and right now they're valued at about $26 billion. So they made the correct decision, you know, at that time in 2013. But it was basically the CEO. He basically said that he believed, like, his whole idea in Snapchat was he wanted to change the way that people interacted, creating a more ephemeral connection, pretty much. And he saw that type of communication going further and further. And, I mean, I understand that, but $3 billion, like, I feel like if there was a $3 billion check for anything, like, if somebody told me they wanted to buy me, I don't know, you know, and, like, my mom could have $3 billion, I probably would do it because, like, $3 billion is a lot of money. I don't know if I could wait 4 years and be worth $26 billion. I don't have that type of patience in me. But they felt that being bought by Facebook would really would just, like, take a little bit of his soul. Like, you know, like, I'm actually not this type of world-changing person. You know, I just got bought by Facebook. I'm just an acquisition. And, like, you know, that's the type of confidence that I hope to have soon in anything, because to turn down $3 billion, you have to be I guess that's what you have to think like. But it's crazy because in 2012, Instagram didn't have that type of confidence in themselves, and they decided to sell to Facebook for $1 billion in 2012. And in 2012, they only had 40 million daily active users, and now they have 600 million daily active users. And so 600 million daily active users they sold for $1 billion. And right now, Snapchat has 100 million daily active users. So Instagram has six times that. So could you imagine being the Instagram people? And, like, the daily active users is one of the key metrics when trying to judge these tech companies that don't make any money or don't make anything or don't really do anything, because with how they're judged by is how much time that people spend on the apps and how much attention, like, what's their engagement. So when you think about Instagram having six times the daily active users, that's really it's pretty significant. And they sold for $1 billion in 2012. They didn't have the foresight to be able to hold out, or maybe their investors, you know, wanted to jump the gun. But imagine if they were worth six times $25 billion today. So that's $150 billion that maybe they could have sold, or they could have IPO'd that. But you do run the risk of being Vine, where I don't know if you were Vine. Vine was this app that basically you played 6 seconds. You could record 6 second videos and play them back over and over and over again. And Instagram pretty much came out with Instagram Video, and within like 2 months, Vine was non-existent. You know, Instagram, but when I say Instagram, I mean Facebook. And so Instagram also came out with a Snap-like story setting, which I guess the future is under question about, you know, maybe Snapchat's vitality as it comes to the future for Snapchat. So with Instagram and Facebook adopting features that mimic, you know, these standalone apps, can they survive? Because it almost feels like there's always just one winner. Like, there isn't room for, like, a Periscope and a Facebook Live and Instagram Live. Like, there's really only room for one. So it'll be interesting to see Snapchat's rise and fall in their stock price, and basically the company health and the company expectations, and what type of innovation that they're going to do. Because I'll admit it, I'm not one of those people who watches everybody's story on my Instagram or on my Snapchat or watches the news. So, like, these people, they can't make any money for me. So you know, I'm curious to see how they monetize it going forward. Last week on Facebook, I saw a video of these women who collected air from the UK. That's what they did. They collected air, and they packaged it into these glass mason-type jars. They said that, you know, the countryside air, you never know what type of you're going to get. You could get, like, a grassy breeze, or you could get, like, a sea salt breeze. I don't know. Like, they artisan air is what they called it, and they were selling it for $100 a jar, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that they were selling it for $100 a jar. They were selling it to mostly people on mainland China in Beijing and Shanghai, and I guess I didn't really understand the seriousness of this because there is a lawsuit being brought by Chiang Hai, is a lawyer out of Hong Kong, suing the Beijing government about the smog. And while he's got a nominal fee, pretty much I think it's like a $1,500 pretty much around that this class action lawsuit is trying to get for the citizens of Beijing. But basically is that the government's not taking the pollution seriously enough, and this needs to be brought to attention. Now, I'm not too sure about how the Justice Department and how that takes place in China, you know, how that things get taken care of. I was just reading an article on the AP about it. But I feel like if it's anything like America, absolutely nothing will happen. Like, you just have to deal with that smog, dog. You know, there's... I've heard stories about the smog and about the types of irritants it's causing. It's terrible. I feel like it's almost like the water crisis in the States. But, I mean, if they haven't done anything about it by now, then you probably should get in on this air entrepreneurship and start selling air. Like, I wonder where the best place to get air from. Like, can I get artisan air from the Caribbean, and then I get air from BC, like, you know, northern BC, and then you get maybe some desert air, some really dry air, and then maybe you get some jungle air, like you get some really wet air. You know, like, I feel like that you can make a whole, if these women have made, they said they've sold over 150 canisters of air from the UK. And I've been to the UK, and I never thought that their air was particularly nice. I remember London having a smog problem itself. Also, the plague is from Europe. So I feel like we can outdo these people. If you'd like to go into business with me selling air, I think, you know, I'm out in BC if you're not listening in Vancouver. But if you are in Vancouver, I think that there's a great opportunity for us. If you'd like to call in and talk maybe a little about some strategy, you can call in at 604-822-CITR, 604-822-2487. But if you're going to Coachella, this is important news to know. Because I feel like I have listeners who like Coachella and music festivals. Beyonce, who I don't know if you have heard, but she's pregnant with two twins. Like, she's pregnant, really pregnant. So if you saw her at the Grammys, she's got like a belly. And she was supposed to be headlining Coachella. Tickets were going for like, you know, a few $1,000s when they found out that Beyonce was headlining. And when they found out she was being pregnant, I mean, she was not being pregnant. When she was pregnant, they went up, and now she, as Beyonce, you know, can't perform with twins, Lady Gaga has replaced her. Now, I think it's interesting because, like, Lady Gaga, she just performed at the Super Bowl. I thought it was pretty good. Like, I didn't realize how many Lady Gaga songs I knew. But I don't think that she's anywhere on Beyonce's level. Like, I can't tell you a Lady Gaga album. I don't know if she's ever had a music video I've ever seen. Like, I don't know if the people who go to Coachella even think that Lady Gaga and Beyonce are in the same stratosphere. Because I feel that Beyonce is like a rare bird. She's like she's like Mewtwo in Pokemon, you know? There's only one of those, you know? And I feel like they should have brought back a hologram or something to try to replace Beyonce like they did with Tupac a few years ago. Like, maybe get a hologram Beyonce. Maybe you take, like, Beyonce from Destiny's Child and Beyonce from, what was her first CD album called? I can't remember. But, you know, before... Jay-Z, Beyonce, you know, and then post, then you can just do, you know, everything contemporary, but the hologram can like change. Maybe you can actually bring out Kelly and Michelle, because I'm sure that they probably don't have anything to do going on that weekend. And you can sit them up there right next to Beyonce's hologram. I don't know. I just feel like I saw everything Lady Gaga had to give at the Super Bowl. And besides her jumping off of the building, which I thought was actually incredible, I just wasn't overly impressed. Got a few minutes. And I saw that the Dakota Access Pipeline will be finished in a few weeks. You know, here in BC, and over the past like few months, like pipelines have been a really, really big, not issue, but have been like, it's a thing, you know, and it's a big thing. People, particularly the natives and First Nations, whose land that it is rightfully, are concerned about some of the issues that can arise from pipelines and how, you know, their way of life is determined, you know, is based off of the land and water, and even just having access to the land, because once it's polluted, you can't go back to its natural state. So, like, once you put a pipeline through it, there's a pipeline through it. Like, you can't go back to what it was before the pipeline. You can't, like, no amount of money can fix it. So their concern is founded, you know, with that understanding. But the Dakota Access Pipeline that Donald Trump signed the executive order for is going to be completed in about a month. And it was leaked or reported by the AP that it will make the state of North Dakota $110 million in revenue a year. So it totally makes sense why the state would unleash the Federal Reserve, the National Guard, and issue all that overtime for police. The police, when we heard the staggering costs of how much it costed to battle with the protesters, it cost $35 million. And so the state spent $35 million to basically rid the protesters from the land, because they were going to get $110 million annually in revenue. And my thing is that, when are we going to draw a line on what can be bought and what can be sold? Like, not everything can be sold. Like, not everything should have a price tag on it. And if the Missouri River, which is the livelihood for the livelihood for everybody, like, it's a river, it's, you know, it provides lots of benefits for everybody. It's a very important, like, if you notice that all civilization throughout millennia has all been around rivers, because they are that important. They bring water and life. And we can't put a price tag on all our rivers. Like, you know, we can't put price tags on that type of stuff. So where's the line drawn? Lastly, I was just reading the report while the song was on, that Donald Trump doesn't have enough money to build the wall. So, you know, he campaigned largely on the idea that they're going to build a wall between the United States and Mexico, and potentially the United States and Canada. I think Canada should build a wall and make the United States pay for it. I think it'd be ironic. But anyways, the Donald Trump said that they was to get the wall started immediately. And what they found out is that they only have $20 million free in the budget for Department of Homeland Security that can be redirected to funding the wall. And what they're saying is that the prototype, like, that's basically just enough to get a prototype built. So I've got a second business idea that if you want to go into, if you're like, man, selling air is stupid, dog. Like, I'll never sell air. If you're like, nah, but, I mean, we could build a wall, though. You know, we could build a prototype wall. I'm willing to go in. We'll see if we can bid on that, on the prototype. I feel like it can be 3D printed, you know, for less than $100. I see lots of net profit for us. But that's our show today. I really thank you for listening in and tuning in to Off the Beaten Path. We're here every Thursday, 7 to 8. Actually, I just started a Facebook page, so please like it on Facebook at Off the Beaten Path. Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. You'll have to find it because, like, I'm not just gonna give up that information. I mean, when I mean find it, you'll just have to go look through the episode, and it'll be in the description. So, thank you for tuning in. The Accessibility Collective comes on at 8:30. I appreciate you. Let me take you down my path. Until next week, I'm out.